fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Today I want to begin to talk about the three secrets of Fatima. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them on whatever device you use to listen to them at your pleasure. The first couple of days, we've mainly been talking about identity because so much is revealed in this story. It's not central to the story, but it's part of God's revelation of who God trusts in the earth. He trusts the small, the simple, the humble, the pure, the obedient. And these are characteristics of really the life of Jesus himself and of these little children that God chose, and of course, of Our Lady. Now, the world doesn't seem to value those things today. They reject them probably even more than in the early part of the 20th century when Mary actually appeared and warned the world, brought a warning from God that the world was turning away from God and profoundly offending God. And as a result, punishment was coming on the earth in the form of war. Mary made clear war is punishment for sin, for human sin that's gotten to a point where it's so out of control. And man, today, people feel throughout the world the chaos, the confusion, the lack of wisdom, the instability, the deconstructing of so many fundamental things that belong to God, the things of God. People feel it, they see it, and we know something's deeply wrong. And we're at a place, I think, where another war, I'm not prophesying anything, I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me if another very serious war broke out around the world, because so much of the world is running away from God. You know, you see what's happened to the apostasy in the West. Europe, Christianity's collapsed in Europe. It's collapsing in parts, major parts of Canada. Lots of collapse even around here in the United States. There's plenty to be encouraged by. And of course, as a Christian, you never lose hope because there's an infinite capacity for regeneration in the church itself, and the gates of hell will never prevail ultimately against the church. But it doesn't mean that many souls couldn't be lost in the whole process. And so, here we are. I want to begin, again, the story of Our Lady coming to these three children, Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco Marto. They were young children of sheep herders. They spent a lot of time outside. They loved to play. They were just ordinary children. And God sends first an angel to them. And one of the fascinating things we've been talking about here among friends is just kind of reflecting in this anniversary, 100th anniversary of Fatima, different elements of the story. And it's amazing that the angel of Portugal, God revealed this angel to the children, and he told the children he wanted to teach them how to pray, how to be before God. And he got on his knees and bowed down and touched his forehead on the ground before God and before the holiness of God and said something like this: "My Lord, my God, I love you, I adore you, I hope in you, I believe in you." I think it was believe, adore, hope, love. "And then I pray for all those who don't believe in you, don't adore you, don't hope in you, and don't love you." And the children were obviously overwhelmed by the angel, so much so that for a few days they were almost numb. They didn't speak much at all. They touched the holiness of God in the revelation of this angel, and then they began to pray in the same way. I mean, it's so beautiful. These little children then, with complete sincerity and purity of heart, bow down before God. And that's a message to you and me right now. And that's a message to the powerful of the world, to all the kings and rulers of the earth that always rage against God and against his anointed, as Psalm 2 tells us. What should we be doing right now? How can we fix the problems in the world? Kings of the earth, politicians, rulers, people of power and influence, learn from these children. Let's all bow down on our knees. Let's get on our knees and allow our foreheads to touch the ground and to say the same words: "Lord, I believe, I adore, I hope in you, and I love you. And I pray for all those who don't believe and don't adore and don't hope in you and don't love you." The human heart needs to bow down now before God. We can see and feel things are getting very chaotic. Seem like people are saying there's things are spinning out of control. The increase in violence, and you just see what's coming out of the mouths of leaders and how they're behaving, and a lack of humility, a lack of self-control, a lack of really living in the fear of God. It doesn't matter whether people want to design a world where God isn't a part of it and believe that that's existence. You're never going to walk away from the fact that you've been made by God. And you're made for God. And you're going to go one way or the other. You're either going to become everything he meant you to be by turning toward him in a life of repentance and sacrifice, obedience and love toward God, and then becoming what we see in Our Lady and now the three children of Fatima who've been canonized, they're participating in the glory of God and they've reached their fulfillment. Or you're going to become a demon, literally, turning away from God. You're going to become so distorted. You're going to become like the demons of hell. That's the destinies. And you see in the East, it was in China not long ago, you see an atheistic government that's doing everything it can to not only control, but in some places to stamp out the church. You see the West freely rejecting it. And in some ways from East to West, there's a rejection of God in our time among the powerful and the influential. And that's profoundly offensive to God. There is no neutral ground that's pleasing, no third way that man forges on his own that's going to rise to heaven and get him to his ultimate eternal destiny. There's only two ways, and the scripture is clear about it. So Mary comes and appears to these children six times, beginning on August 13th. I just want to read from a wonderful book, The Second Greatest Story Ever Told by Father Michael Gately. There's a number of good books out there, and this has a section in here that's very good on Fatima. He said, when the beautiful lady appeared to the children, she asked them to return to the Cova on the 13th of each month. They did so, except for one time. She first appeared on May 13th, 1917. They did so except for one time on the 13th of August when they couldn't go because they'd been unjustly incarcerated by the local authorities. Lots of people got very angry at them and said they were lying and they were making all this story up that Mary was appearing to them and God wanted to speak to them. There were six fundamental apparitions and from May to October, and Mary reveals on July 13th, 1917, three secrets to the children. And here's what Lucia recorded. The first secret helps us understand why Our Lady of Fatima so often appeared to the children looking serious and sad. Here's what Lucia had to say. She said, Our Lady showed us a great sea of fire, which seemed to be under the earth. Plunged in this fire were demons and souls in human form, like transparent burning embers, all blackened and burnished bronze, floating about in conflagration, now raised into the air by the flames that issued from within themselves, together with great clouds of smoke, now falling back on every side like sparks in a huge fire, without weight or equilibrium, and amid shrieks and groans of pain and despair, which horrified us and made us tremble with fear. The demons could be distinguished by their terrifying and repellent likeness to frightful and unknown animals, all black and transparent. This vision lasted but an instant. How can we ever be grateful enough to our kind heavenly mother, who had already prepared us by promising in the first apparition to take us to heaven? Otherwise, I think we would have died of fear and terror. It's so interesting that part of what Jesus wanted Mary to do was to show and give the children a glimpse of hell, the reality of eternal punishment, the consequence of rejecting God, consequence of living in mortal sin, of living a life that refuses to acknowledge God and literally making choices against God and God's command. And Mary made it clear, souls are being lost. Large numbers of souls are being lost. Thinking about Teresa of Lisieux, a word she received from the Lord of Israel, she said, souls are being lost like flakes of snow on a winter's day. And Jesus weeps. And Jesus weeps. Jesus died on a cross for our sins and for the sins of the world. And that rebellion is still so present in the world. And here's the second secret that was revealed on that day that Lucia gives an account of. It says, you have seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. This is part of God's plan and purpose, Jesus' choice. If what I say to you is done, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. The war is going to end, but if people do not cease offending God, A worse one will break out during the pontificate of Pius XI. The First World War is what was unfolding, she was referring to. And when you see a night illumined by an unknown light, know that this is the great sign given you by God that he's about to punish the world for its crimes by means of war, famine, and persecutions of the church and of the Holy Father. To prevent this, I shall come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays. If my requests are heeded, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions of the church. And boy, did that happen, right, in the 20th century. In some ways, her lies are still being spread across the world. In China, for example, the good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. Various nations will be annihilated. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and she shall be converted, and a period of peace will be granted to the world. So what we see is Jesus' plan to use Mary in a significant way to bring about, really to change the heart of the human race, to bring the human race to repentance, and in particular the conversion of Russia is mentioned. So here's how Father Gately kind of summarizes the main points here. Our Lady says that the war, the First World War, will end, and it did, in fact, end the following year. She warned of a worse war that would break out during the pontificate of Pius XI. That war, World War II, was certainly worse than the First World War. First World War ended up killing 20 million people. The Second World War, 50 million people were killed. Now, I wanted to make a point of saying that Lucia also understood a clarification he wanted to make here, that really the Second World War began, and again, Lucia acknowledges, not with the German aggression against Poland, but against Austria when in March 12, 1938, Nazi Germany annexed Austria, occupying it with its troops. So Mary gave the warning. The warning was not heeded. And what ends up happening is the Second World War breaks out, and Russia's errors continue to be spread across the world. I don't have time to read the third secret today, but I want to end just with this thought. God sent Mary, his mother, to the world as a prophet, as a witness, on his behalf to warn the world about the seriousness of the sin of the world. Sin's a big deal. Sin is revealed, it's the ugliness of sin, and its power is revealed on the cross of Jesus Christ when human hearts, sinful human hearts, crucified Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Love came to speak to us, to touch us, and we shut it up. We said no to love and to love's message. John's Gospel, chapter 3. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but have everlasting life. And Jesus said, the light came into the world, but men preferred darkness to light. Friends, that's happening today in a major way. Human hearts are turning away from God. We ought to pray and repent and follow the witness of Mary and the children of Fatima. God's calling you to that. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing, and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.